Hi, this is Suze McLean-Bond, and this is our show, Unlock Your Life. Welcome to episode 002. And today we will go deeper into the first principle of unlocking your life. And that principle is you always get what you want. Now, this principle is very counterintuitive. Many people come up to me and say, well, I did not want certain things to happen. I just didn't want it. So this principle is just not true. And I get that. A lot of things we experience in life really suck. And a lot of things we see around us really suck. And it's hard to believe that people actually could ask for certain things to happen. So I get that this is counterintuitive. And that's why we have an entire episode on it. Now, there are two levels of things to talk about. You could divide it in more, probably. But let's just start out with saying there's two levels. And the first level is what life throws on your plate. So what really happens without you controlling things. And the second level, and that is what you create subconsciously. And I really make that distinguishment because sometimes you could say that you created it, or you could say everything is thrown on your plate by life. And there is a distinguishment, and we will go deeper into that today. Now, you don't want people to die. You don't want diseases like cancer. You don't want to be raped. You don't want war. You don't want certain people to take over the government, etc. So, of course, we see these things around us. We didn't want them consciously. We didn't want them subconsciously, maybe. And they do happen. So it's very harsh to say, did you create this? And we'll go deeper into this in other principles as well. So many of these principles go, we'll talk about these things. But for now, let's just say life happens. So there's a lot of things going on out there that just happen out of our control. It's not that you can ever create a no-storm zone, like I say. You know, if you want to cross the ocean from Europe to New York, you're going to hit a few storms. 2 weeks out at sea, I'd say you'd hit into wind force 8 before at least 3 times and maybe more. So it's if you make a certain crossing, there's bad weather out there. And you don't decide if that's going to happen or not, and you cannot manifest no storms, maybe, and maybe you shouldn't even want to. So the thing is, what does it mean that you always get what you want? The thing is, you do get to decide how you react and how you prepare and how you deal with things that come on your plate. And it's all about one big question, and that's the question, what is asked from me here? So what is the reaction that's required to actually create the life that's good for me in the situation that I am in at this moment? Now, I've been through a lot of experiences in my life personally where I could get to practice this. I don't know if I created them consciously or subconsciously or whatever. I had them. So when I was 12, my granddad, who was like my father, he died, and I was a little bit too young to lose him. And after that, I had a funeral every year of people I knew very deeply and loved very deeply. When I was 20, my boyfriend was run over by a car, and he got in the hospital, and he had brain damage, and that stayed for life. I took care of him for a year and a half. I was raped by a boyfriend. So I can go on and on and on. When I was pregnant with my oldest son, the father left me. So I could go on and on and on of all these situations that you could say, I didn't consciously want them, but it gave me a lot of practice to deal with this question. What is asked from me here? What am I required to do here? Now, let's go into the first level of what life throws on your plate, whether you wanted it or not. And what I really feel as a big inspiration here is two people, and there might be thousands of them, but these two people really changed a lot for me. And one of them is Viktor Frankl. He is psychiatrist. He lived in Austria. He was Jewish, and he went to several camps during the Second World War, and he's written a book. It's called Man's Search for Meaning, and he really learned how to deal with life and that life is meaningful in the most absurd and excruciating circumstances. He survived Auschwitz, and he really writes in that book how you can have a meaningful life even when you're in Auschwitz waiting to be murdered by the people that murdered people in Auschwitz. And that book really changes your life if you read it. The other person is Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela had a very, very friendly and beautiful relationship with his prison guard, a guy called Brand. And that guy was hired to torture him. And he was hired to, he was said that he would meet and guard the worst criminal on this planet. And that he was to use everything he could to make this guy's life pain and painful. And Mandela really changed that around. And they developed a friendship that was like a father-son friendship. And one of the things that, I don't know the exact wording that this took place in, but Mandela said something like, "I don't want to be here, and you don't really want to hurt me. We are in this together. I get that, and you get that. So I know that you need to torture me because that's your job. And you know that I need to undergo these tortures. But let's just be humans in this." And those kinds of things really got this guard to think differently about what he was ordered to do. A man in pain underneath that. And we're playing these roles. And somehow we need to get over that because this guy somewhere deep within really doesn't want to do this. And this, for me, is an example that somehow if you really study these people's thought patterns and you really try to embrace what they said and how they said it, you learn so much. I learned so much from these people to actually think that way. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, well, that's Mandela, and I am not Mandela, and I cannot think that way. And the beauty of it is, yes, you can. So he developed these thought patterns maybe without reading books like this. Well, that's wonderful. But the thing is, you can actually learn from these people, and it's easier than you think. What this asks from us is not an easy task, of course. Most of us are not hardwired to see these things or to act from these patterns. And in my course, Unlock Your Life, we really go deep into unraveling your own thought patterns and see how you can change these, because reading Mandela won't necessarily change your own thoughts, of course, but it will open you to the possibility. And for now, it's good to really understand that that is possible for you. And for now, an exercise that will really help you in this is to read these people's stories and consciously reflect on your own thought patterns. So what's the difference between what they are thinking and what you are thinking? And if you really see and try to understand how they approach the world and how they view the world, and what they focus on in life, and you try to make an exercise out of how you could actually focus that way and what it would take to actually see the things through their eyes. That's one of the exercises I've been doing for years, and it really, really helps. And of course, you can always take a course like Unlock Your Life, where you can really unravel what is your hardwiring and why is it that way and how can you change that? And that is actually possible, and it's a lot easier than you think. Because your subconscious is blocking you. That's all. There's no real, a lot of people tend to think, yeah, but that's just me. This is just the way I think. And the truth is, it's not just the way you think. It's the way you taught yourself to think because it was most safe at that time. You weren't born thinking that everybody is stupid, or that you should hate everybody, or that everybody hurts people on purpose. You're not hardwired to think that way. You are hardwired. You hardwired yourself to think that way because a lot of things happened in your life, and that's okay. That's happened to all of us. And you can deconstruct all those patterns. But we won't go into that now. It's just good to know that it's actually possible. Now, there was another level of this, and that is the things that you actually create yourself. And this is different from diseases or hunger in Africa or prison guards torturing us or war or dictators. These are the things that we actually create. Now, believe it or not, these are actually more painful to deal with, because something like war or prison camp is really out of our control. So it's quite easy to see that if you just change your thought patterns, you could change your experience. And that's, well, it's not, maybe it's not easy, but it's something that we're willing to do. And the second level is patterns that we actually do create ourselves. And it's very painful to see and to admit that we actually create that ourselves. So for me, one of the biggest ones was around money. And when I was over the past 20 or so years, I think it occurred 3 times that I was really in bad debt, and that I had debt collectors at my door knocking and saying, you know, we need the money and we need it now. And it was always way more money than I could ever see myself getting. And it was really something that my thought patterns went wild on and saying, well, I did not create this. This is unfair. This is something I really didn't ask for. And I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. So why is this happening? And it happened a few times, and a few times really seriously, really bad. And I really didn't know how to solve it. And it was really hard for me to get awareness on how I created that, because it's very painful to see that you're actually creating these situations that you consciously would never want. So how did I do that? The thing is, when I was very young, I always thought that I had to figure everything out myself. And I thought that if I asked for help, I'd be punished. That was my experience. If I asked my parents for help with my schoolwork, they'd do it in a way that felt like a punishment. And now in hindsight, it wasn't that, but that is what I thought they meant. So I thought I was being punished for asking help. In my classroom, when I asked the question, the whole class went like, big sighs. Oh, her again. She's always asking these stupid questions. And I thought people hated me for that. Now, there was something totally different going on in that classroom. That is that I asked questions that people really didn't even understand. So it took a lot of time for the teacher to answer my questions, and it had a whole different dynamic. But I translated that dynamic to, if I ask for help, everybody hates me. Now, whether this is true or not, that was what I thought. So I developed a pattern, and this is a very subconscious pattern, of not asking for help, trying to figure out everything on my own, and creating situations where if I really didn't do it on my own, I'd get other people, what I would see as, hating me for it. So I saw the debt collectors like, oh, you didn't ask for help. You think you can do it all by yourself. Well, we hate you. And that wasn't their message. That was the first approach that it felt like me. I didn't ask for this. Why does everybody hate me? Where in reality, I really did ask for it, because I didn't know how to solve it. I didn't know how to ask for help. And what happened is that people came on my door and say, hey, you cannot do this by yourself. We're going to help you with this. Open up, reach out. We are not here to punish you. We are here to make life easy on you, but only if you reach out to us. So it took 3 times for me to get that. But what happened the last time is that I said, you know, I didn't want to create this situation, and I am consciously aware that I did. And I really don't know what this means, but I know that I actually need your help. And then the guy on the phone said, finally, somebody who's getting it. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, the thing is that we are not here to make your life miserable. We're just doing our job. And the thing is, we want to help you, and we want to think with you on ways how you can solve the situation, but we need you to cooperate. And I said, okay, so how do we proceed? And he said, well, if you start making a list of all your income and all your expenses, we can actually help you get out of this situation very quickly and in a way that will really help you. So that's what I did, and I started working with them instead of against them, and I stopped pushing towards all these negative beliefs in my subconscious mind, and I started to actually ask the universe, what is being asked for me here? And it had everything to do with allowing people to help me and allowing people to not so much take over, but really point out to me where I wasn't looking and really help me in get over a lot of shame, forgive myself for being in that situation, and actually maturing on the era of money. So although I didn't want to be in the situation with debt collectors taking over my bank accounts, I did want to ask for help in the really main areas of life. And I did want to grow up, and I did want to take responsibility. I just didn't know how. So the universe sent people on my path who actually helped me out. Now, this is basically, if you hear this story, you probably could also hear that it has a lot of similarities with the first level. So although I created this subconsciously and I did get what I want, so I was hiding, and I, you know, when children play hide and seek, the game is called hide and seek. It's not just hide. So I played a game of hide. That was what I thought I was playing. But the universe said, no, no, no. The game is called hide and seek. So if you hide, we're going to find you. So if you keep hiding, we're going to keep finding you until you say, hey, you found me. That's great. I actually wanted to be found. And then the game turns around. So then somebody else goes hiding and I go seeking them. And then it starts to be a fun game. So that was actually what I wanted. And I wanted to really get how the money game works. That was what I really wanted. And I thought I could create it by myself. And I learned that that's impossible. And this was actually through the same awareness as the first level. And that is the question, what's being asked from me here? So to take some distance and really reflect. So the first time this happened to me, I thought, well, you know, if I am in debt $15,000 and I don't have a home, I was in a divorce, I didn't have any stuff anymore. I had nothing. All my clients walked away at the same time. And this was all one big coincidence, I thought. I thought, well, you know, I still have a credit card and I still can go $2,000 more in debt on my credit card. And, you know, it's bad enough as it is. So who cares? I'll just hop on my bike and go cycling. So that's what I did. I hopped on my bike. I went cycling with my credit card in my hand. And I just cycled 8 to 10 hours a day. And I wasn't thinking straight. And then 10 days later, I think, I was on the beach and I was sitting there, and suddenly this thought consciously came through, and it was, you wanted to be an entrepreneur. You wanted to set up your own business. And now you're here cycling and stacking up debt. So if you wanted to be an entrepreneur so bad, isn't it time you went home and started your business? And that was really a wake-up call. So, but the thing is, these wake-up calls don't come when we sit behind our desk in hiding and start thinking of all these things. It starts as soon as we take ourselves out of the situation, on the bicycle in this case, but it could have been anywhere, and really start wondering what is being asked here. So at that point, I was being asked to take my business seriously, to take charge of my life. The second time, I was being asked to let my family into my life, because until that point, I had done everything single-handedly, including delivering a baby. And now all of a sudden, I had a husband and two babies, and I had to take care of all these people, and I didn't know how to do that. So the second time, I was asked to let people into my life instead of still trying to do everything on my own. And the third time, I was being asked to actually start growing into the life that I really want instead of playing the smaller game. But every single time, this appeared to me when I was brave enough to ask this question, what is being asked for me here? What am I actually required to do in this situation? Why is this happening? And what is this teaching me? Or where am I not looking? Where am I not paying attention? Please tell me. And the answer always comes, and it comes a lot quicker when you actually dare to ask than when you try to stay out of the situation. So in the next episode, next week, we will go deeper into these subconscious patterns and how we actually create these subconscious patterns and what you really start to understand once you start asking these questions. So more about that next week. So stay tuned, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.